Amen. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. We just thank you for this Palm Sunday. Just thank you, Lord, just as we think back upon you. And Lord, we pray that you would just speak to us this morning and just open our hearts to receive what you have to say. Lord, I pray each heart is open to receive from you. I pray you anoint me with the Spirit to speak words of the Spirit. And so we give all this to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking off here, starting on Luke chapter 13, verse 22 through 24 to start off with. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I will tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." It's important to, when we look at any of this, and reminder, like I do each week, that we're going through the book of Luke. And as we're going through the book of Luke, it's an investigation by Luke and showing how Jesus manifested himself into the world. And it was systematic. He did it and he presented himself. And so it's, and it, and so when we look at a verse like this, this was in the process of what he was doing. So he had a point to make this, to make a point at this particular time. So there's a continuing revelation of who he is. Now people, he's made a big impact. I mean, there's people flocking to him now. And some of them have figured out, some of the disciples, that he's the Messiah. A lot of people say he claims to be the Messiah. A lot of people think he's a prophet. He's irritating all the religious leaders. And some people are just fascinated with him because things are happening around him. I mean, wherever he is, things are happening. So this is the dynamic. And so when what Jesus does, when he speaks, Jesus points to himself. And that's important. The whole Bible speaks to Jesus. The whole Bible unfolds and Jesus talks about the Old Testament and how it points to him. And in fact, any preacher that's any good at all, when they preach, will point to Jesus. See, so Jesus is the center of all this, and he's showing himself to be the center, and people are seeing it. But then there's just like, well, what all is going on? So that's the context. That's the context. And so he systematically starts clarifying, and it really doesn't get really clarified until the cross and his resurrection. And then they say, then they remember all the things he was taught, because they weren't quite being able to grasp it. So in this section, when we look at that, we need to keep that in mind. And we also, in this section, we need to understand what the narrow door means. So he's talking about a narrow door. What does that narrow door mean? And so if we don't understand what the narrow door is, then we can go off on all sorts of tangents. But if we understand what the narrow door is, then all of a sudden the things coming together and it makes more sense, okay? And all this makes more sense. So I think the best way to figure out what the narrow door is to let Jesus tell us what the narrow door is, all right? So we're going to look at John 10:9. Look at John 10:9. Okay. Now, I always like to be a little facetious and say, okay, who do you need to get to interpret this for you? It's like Jesus said, no, I am the door. So right there, it nails it. Jesus is the narrow door. He says of himself, I am the door. And that is a truth. You know, I was watching a thing. It was actually a situation on, they have all these, every time you were born, they classify you a certain group of people, you know, so it's just, you know, and I'm a baby boomer. You know what that is? Anyway, I think it's kind of cool. I'm a baby boomer like that. So I'm a World War II baby, all right? So all the guys come home from, you know, from World War II. So here, voila, here I am, population explosion. But each year, so they have but each group, evidently, they have a cultural mentality and thinking process. Well, the guy was telling me, this group that's been born, and so they have this idea of truth is whatever it is to you. you know, so everybody can have your own truth, you know. And I always, to me, I just don't buy into it. I mean, so I guess it's just like, I mean, if you have gravity, you know, just hold up a ball and drop in. Well, I don't buy in. That's not my truth. I said, well, let me hold you up and drop you and let you think yourself out of that. You know, well, that's my car. Well, I don't believe that's your car. I think my truth, it's my car. It's just nonsense to me. But anyway, that's just where I'm coming from. Now, what Jesus did, what he said, he says, I am the truth. So he, you know, he preempted all these people. He goes, my truth is the truth. I am the truth. That's what Jesus said. And so I think at the end of time, we'll figure out, yep, he was right. He is the truth, you know. So he's giving us a heads up. He goes, I am the truth. He goes, I am the door. So this is important when we look at this section of Scripture to know what he's talking about. He is talking about himself. He's talking about himself. Now, so if he is the door, then he also, this helps understand, if he is the door, then it helps to understand what this door leads to. Okay, in John 14, 6, it says this. So this is where the door leads to. Jesus is the door, and Jesus said to them in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In case anybody's confused, okay? I am the way, truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How do we get through? How do we get to the Father? Through the narrow door. There we go. So he is lining this up, and he, you know, he's building these things up, and he's communicating to us. So Jesus is the narrow door. Jesus is the only way to God. Therefore, that is the truth, and it deserves our full attention. That's what he's saying. That's what he is saying. So he's just making it real clear. So now let's look at this verse in Luke chapter 13, verse 23 through 24, the first part of it. And it says this, and someone said to him, now remember, these folks are following him and they're trying to figure all this out. They don't have, they don't have, like we would do, the benefit of the whole New Testament behind us. So they're asking the question. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are going to be saved few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. What's he talking about? He's talking about himself. He says, strive to enter through the narrow door. So all these views, all this religious background, all these people, he says, strive to enter the narrow door. Now, the word strive is interesting to look at, because strive connotates, or it means a wholehearted action. It's a wholehearted action, okay? There's no wishy-washy here. There's a wholehearted action. And strive is basically a technical term, okay? It's what they would use in the athletic games, okay? They had Olympic-type games back in, and this is what you would use in the athletic games. And the word means to agonize. So Trey's like, run the race. Okay, get set, go. I'm going to stroll to the finish line. No, he goes, no, you agonize, you know, and you go to the finish line. Oh, I'm going to train for the games, you know, and once a month I'm going to go and ride the bike for 10 minutes. No, you ain't getting there, you know, and not going to have you. There's no agony in that, you know. There's no agony unless you're that person's coach, and then you're agonizing because you can't get them to do anything. So there's it. So the strive is really an intense word. It's agonize. Okay, and so it means to agonize that you go through this door. So it means there is no half-hearted effort. There is no half-hearted effort to follow Jesus. That's what it's saying. Now, this doesn't mean that there's human achievement that merits entrance into the kingdom. It's not saying that. It's an attitude of the mind. It's an attitude of the mind. It's not, okay, you do this, and you get, because he didn't say that. He says strive, but it's an attitude of the mind. And also, I think it's important here, the people ask, how many? You know, You know, how many are going in? They're figuring that number. They had lots of people going here. How many of these folks going to get in? How many? Well, Jesus doesn't answer how many. Jesus tells them who will enter. Not how many. He tells them who will enter. And the who are those who wholeheartedly seek Jesus, the narrow door. Does that make sense? So that's this whole thing going. So they're coming around Jesus, and Jesus says, yeah, no, I'm asking for some commitment here. Commitment here. Who's going to buy in to the system? Who is committed to it? I always like to watch these pro games and basketball games, and it says they buy into the system. They're committed to the team. They buy in, and we can get it done. You know, so they're in. Agonize, you know, and so Jesus is saying, are you buying in? Of course, it doesn't cost us anything. Are we committed to him? Are we committed to him? That's what it says. So he goes on to say there are some that just not gonna buy in. There's some that are not gonna agonize to follow and focus on Christ. And he says this in Luke 13:24b, the last part of it. He says, the reason you need to agonize, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Many are going to seek, but they will not be able. Now, the many who will be unable to enter are those who, and there's here, it kind of, there's an inference here. Inference here, okay? Those that come along, it's too late. You know, it's kind of, I always, you know, I do make fun. Sometimes I make fun. People should make fun of me, but I make fun, you know, just hard preaching. If you walk out of here tonight, it'll be too late if you don't accept Christ, you know? And I just hate that, you know, to do that. You know? However Jesus did it. I mean, it's like, well, maybe they were closer to the truth than I was. It's like, no, you better step up. You better step up while you have the chance. So the many that are unable, those that are too late, it's also those that vacillate. You know, I don't know, I can't, maybe this, maybe that, you know. And so they just never get there. They just vacillate, you know. Or there's this whole group, well, there's just many ways to get there. What is your truth? This is my truth. Who is their truth? Many ways. And they never come to the truth. They don't get in. They don't ever get to the narrow door. There's no striving to the narrow door. So the focus here is the difference between those who will seek and those who strive now, enter now. Those who strive now, enter now. Okay, now there's not any indication in all of Scripture that genuine seekers find themselves excluded. There's nowhere in Scripture that says that. If somebody's really seeking after God, you didn't make it, you're excluded. That's not true. But there's also the comment here that once the opportunity is shut, once the door of opportunity is shut, it's too late. I mean, it is. And that's what Jesus says. So he's making a point to these people. He's making a point to these people. So, and again, we have to understand, what is the narrow door? It is Jesus. Okay? And he is looking for commitment. He's looking for people who buy into the program. He's looking for people, no, I'm committing my life to this. I mean, that's what he's doing, put in the athletic sense. And he said, some don't. He said, but one day the door is going to be shut. Now, with that, Jesus is going to give us some harsh facts. You know, it's I really do enjoy preaching through the Bible. As you can tell, I just love preaching through it. But there's just some stuff you come across, you say, I'd like to skip that. I mean, I don't know, I just really don't want to talk about this, you know. But the thing of it is, like, when Jesus talks about it, you go, all right, you know. He's telling me, maybe some of those old preachers got it right and I don't. You know, you go, Lord Jesus, because when you see what he says. But here we have Jesus going to give us some real harsh facts, some real truths. And here's something important. Facts are our friends. They really are our friends, okay? And facts don't create something. They just reveal truth, okay? So facts are good to help us make good decisions about jobs, right? We want the facts. Or we want facts what schools to go to. We want the facts. Or we're going to make some investments. We want the facts. Or about the end times. We just want the facts. He's not creating something here. He's just giving us facts about it. So therefore, we need to rejoice in these next verses because Jesus is giving us some facts for our benefit. Amen? You're all rejoicing, I can tell. Rejoicing. Okay, here's some facts we can rejoice in that Jesus says, this is the truth. I'm just letting you in on what's going to happen so that you know. And there's not an overhead for this. Not an overhead for this. So just listen as I read along. This is Luke chapter 13, verses 25 through 27. And he says this by shutting the door. Once the master of the house. Now, two weeks ago, we know who the master of the house is, don't we? It's Jesus, okay. So once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you began to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. Then he will answer you, I do not know you or where you come from. Then you will begin to say, oh, you remember me. Yeah, you remember me. We ate and drank in your presence. And you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you or where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. It's going to come to a point when it's like, oh yeah, he's who he said he was. And there wasn't a commitment to that. Maybe it's death, maybe it's his return, or whatever it is. And it's, okay, I think you're the guy, I want to step in. He's sorry, I don't know you. I don't know you. And it's like, no, you can't come. He's no, I don't even know who you are. I don't even know where you come from. I mean, it's an utter rejection, like you're not even in the realm of understanding, because that's what he says here. And you read Matthew, and Matthew is even more direct when it talks about this. So what we have here is Jesus is telling us once the time for decision has passed, attempts to enter in the narrow door will be futile. Be futile. And when the door is shut, Jesus, the Son of Man, is going to reply those wishing to enter. He says, I don't know you. I don't know. If somebody come up, knock your door, you look through the people, who you say, I don't know you. I want in. I don't know who you are. See, that's what Jesus is going to say. He says, I don't know. I don't know who you are. And here's something else. And it's important, you know, because all these people are hanging out with Jesus. Like, this guy is cool. You know, things are happening, all right? Familiarity with Jesus is no benefit. Oh, I'm familiar with Jesus. That ain't getting it. Being familiar with Jesus is not getting it. Well, I know what Jesus said. Not getting it. He taught in the street. Not getting it. I had dinner with him. Not getting it. All right? Just being familiar with him doesn't get it. That's what he's saying. It's something more than being familiar. It is like, you know, I'm striving. He's my everything. There's a difference. And so that's the point he's making here. Now, you want some more facts? Okay, here's some more facts. Here's Luke 13, 28. In that place, outside where Jesus had just shut the door, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. But you yourself will be cast out. Door shut. Now, don't be too discouraged here. The door's open now. Okay, it's open now. Okay, it's not shut. But he's telling you, I'm going to shut this sucker. Okay, I'm going to shut it. But it's open right now. It's open right now. So Jesus' rejection is going to lead to people weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you, I always think about, and this is just me, so I don't believe in God. I just have a funny feeling at the end of times there's not going to be any non-believers. Somebody's like, golly, that's Jesus. Oh, man, I missed that one, you know. But it's too late. The door's shut. The door's shut. Right now is the time of decision. Right now is the time to say, I'm an atheist. You know, I don't think there, I mean, this is just me. I don't think there are any atheists in hell. I don't think there's like, gosh, yeah, that, sure enough, he is God. You know, and all these, this age of people, and I'm being a little facetious, well, that's your truth, this is my truth. No, he's the truth. He's the truth. See, and that's what's going to happen. And there's not going to be any doubt. There's not, I love that verse says, when he returns, every knee will bow. I don't like you. He shows up, oh, Lord Jesus, mess, sorry. You know, see, every knee will bow. You ever read anything in the scripture like Jesus, where God appeared and somebody's sitting there going, hey, what you going to do about it? When he appears, everybody, whole armies, everything, they flatter their face. Oh, my gosh, you know, because the overwhelming presence of his power. So he's telling us, I'm the narrow door. Strive to enter that door. I'm the truth. I'm the truth. I'm the truth. Now, with that, and in the same breath, now, too, you understand this, and we may not grasp the whole fullness of it right now at this point, but back then you have a small country, Israel. You have the Jewish people, God's called out people. Old Testament's all centered around it. The Messiah comes through it, and the Messiah preaches to this group of people. Okay, and by the way, they are, the people outside the group of Israel, the Jews, were called Gentiles. The whole bucket of them. All right, you're Jew or you're not. Okay, so the Gentiles, and the Jews weren't even allowed to eat with the Gentiles. I love the thing when Peter goes see Cornelius. Cornelius has a vision. He's like, oh, go tell Peter, come. He's going to tell you about Jesus. So he sends to Peter, and he sends the vision to Peter, and tells Peter, hey, this guy's coming, and he's from Cornelius, and he'll tell you, you go talk to him. Peter goes, okay, so you got two visions going on. So Peter walks into the Cornelius' house, the Gentile. The first thing he says is, you know it's against the law to be here. You know? Well, just don't let the door hit you in the back on your way out, buddy. You know, I mean, what are you doing? But they had two visions, so they had here. But that's the first thing he said. That's the first thing Peter said. It's against the law for me to be here. See, he's a Jew. He's a Jew. But he went into to this Gentile's house. And then he preached, and the Holy Spirit fell on him just like everybody else. And they go, wow, what is this? Even the Gentiles. Well, see, Jesus told them up front. He tells them right here. Because they're going to people on knock door. And a lot of these are unbelieving Jews, but it's all unbelievers, and God won't let them in. He says this, Jesus' salvation is going around the world. We're leaving this little spot of country. We're going around the world, and it's through Jesus, the narrow door. It's through Jesus, the narrow door. Look at this, Luke 13, 29. All in context, Luke 13, 29. And people, I mean, he just told these guys, can't come in. But he said after that, but the joy is around the world because, and people will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and recline at the table of the kingdom of God. North, south, east. They're just going all over the world. They're going to come. Through that narrow door. Come through that narrow door. So he paints the whole picture here. Now they're going, they're not quite getting it, but he tells them, so there's an understanding of that. There's an understanding of that. So you see this whole picture that Jesus is saying, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And I'm going to reveal myself to the world around me. Then he says this. Then he says this. I mean, I think Jesus can just give, has to just be able to, well, all the apostles, but Jesus, unbelievable methods of preaching, you know. I mean, he just kind of segues into all different stuff, you know. And you know he's right, okay? If you don't get it, you go, I don't get it. But I know he's right, and so he's trying to figure it out. Well, here's another one. And you kind of picture it. You've got this group of people. You've got this group of Jewish people. The religious people are furious at him. You don't have to forget that. They are furious with him because he's you know, upsetting the whole system. And then you got all sorts of people coming to him, and they're not figuring it all out. Some of them, you know, I'm living a pretty good life. I do the sacrifices. I do this. And you got people over here, and like he's healing these, you know, forgiving prostitutes and stuff and tax collectors. He's forgiving them. But the religious people, he's not showing any, looks like any mercy at all on them. So you got this mixture. It doesn't seem to be working out the way people thought it was. And Jesus goes, because when you go through this narrow door, something's different. Something different. And what happens when you go through this narrow door, the least likely can be the ones that are honored. The least likely. The last to hear the gospel, because this is going around the world now. It's not just this little group. It's going around the world. And then people are taking people out of the dregs of life, taking people who aren't religious, and people that are pious and religious, they're not showing any real striving and commitment. I mean, it's all the whole bag's turned upside down. So Jesus tells them, says, the last to hear the gospel will be first in honor and status, while the first to hear the gospel, mainly the religious persons, will become last in honor and status. He just turns it all upside down, all upside down. Because what he's looking for is those who strive into the door. Those who are wholeheartedly committed to Jesus, to him. Everything else falls to the side. That's what he's looking for. And so he says this. He ends it with this. Luke 13:30. Behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. What is the context? Striving to enter the door. Striving wholeheartedly for Jesus. That's the context. That determines the status, the honor, and the presence of God. Who's committed? Who's committed? Who's agonizing? You know, some of us in our Christian life, they've put the gun, fire it in the air, and we just meander along, you know. It's like, well, you get there, it's going to take a while. If you get there when you focus on Christ, but there's not that wholehearted passion that you're going to be honored. He's really excited you accepted Christ. But where's the passion that you really understand it? You just meander through life and it's not important. And then some people, it's like they accept Christ and they'll turn the world upside down and give everything they can to that. And it's that passion. And God says, I'll reward you for that passion. Do you remember Chuck Colson, Charles Colson, and he was the chief counsel for the Nixon. I know Nixon. Okay, and so he was a he was in a way he's like a political thug. I mean, everybody's afraid of him because he was just a hitman for Nixon, and so the press and everything just hate him. But he was just really a go-getter, he said, and was just totally sold out for Nixon. Well, he got, anyway, that whole bunch, that house of cards fell, and so he got convicted of some different crimes and got sent to jail, and I saw this. I mean, I saw it when it happened. So they had, so Colson, they're going to have Colson talking, and the press comes up around Colson, and they says, okay, says they're going to hear what he has to say. And Colson tells them, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And these people in the press, this is not, it's through the pads up. What is this nonsense? You know, I mean, just, it didn't, what do you do with that? What do you do with that? And so here you got, and one of the guys said, one of the reporters said he would lay his life down, he'd throw his body down in front of a car for Nixon. He goes, my gosh, what will he do for Jesus? Well, the thing of it is, he did. Prison fellowship that's around the world. Colson started and run, and it's still going today. And it's in every prison. Colson did it. And because his zeal, you know, misplaced zeal, and once he committed Christ, he strove, and that was his entire focus. And you could literally say that he had effect around the world, change around the world. He went, you know, from following Nixon to following Christ with a passion. With a passion. See?
Some people didn't follow Nixon. He didn't care. He didn't know. Now they're following Jesus, and Jesus is not even sure they're doing anything. You know, you got to, where's your heart? You know, where's your passion? Where's your passion? And so that's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. So he's looking, and there you're looking at Colson. You say, he's last. He's dead last. Ain't nobody, we don't even like him. He's dead last. But he flipped it around. Now he's first. It's passion for Christ. See what I'm saying? Well, this is what, so Jesus is telling them all this. See, Jesus, in his mind, he had Chuck Colson. He knew Chuck was coming. But he hadn't everybody else. See, and it's a perspective, and he's telling us and teaching us this so we have an understanding what to do. So it's not how many, it's who. It's those who strive. Now, strive for what? For Christ. Everything that's Christ, wholeheartedly set on Christ. See, that's what it is. That's the narrow door. That's the narrow door. And you know why he called it narrow? Okay, not a lot of people going to do it. It's just not. Not a lot of people going to do it. It's just not. A lot of people are familiar. Hey, it's cool. I'm going to heaven. You know, it's neat. It's better than going to hell. You know, I don't want to be in that gnashing teeth group, you know. So I just, it's, you know, better on being, going to be with Jesus. Now, so there we end that. It's like, oh my gosh. So here, what we want to see, so what we see is Jesus unfolding and revealing. And they don't get it. These people, some of them are getting it, but they're thinking, they're having a hard time with it. But with the fullness of the scriptures, we totally can see what's going on here. Now, what I want to do is close with is two verses, actually four verses, but these are things we need to remember about what the narrow door is Jesus. The narrow door is Jesus. I don't care what anybody says, okay? Jesus says, I am the narrow door. Well, my truth is, okay, some of these days you're going to figure out that your truth is nothing but a lie. See, it's nothing but a deception. It's coming. It's coming. You're one of those, my truth are one of those people that just seek. They just seek. You know, their occupation is seeking, you know. They're never going to come to a point. They just seek, all right. And so what God is saying, no, those that lock in and strive and committed me, and that's the one I'm going to honor. I mean, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. So here's a great verse. And all of you should know these this verse. All of you should write it down. You should know it. And it's just really helpful. It's up heaven overhead. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. The narrow door is Jesus. The narrow door is Jesus. It's not good works. It's not how you dress. It's Jesus, the narrow door. And he said it. How do we know? He said, I am the door. Okay? We don't have to go to any preacher and figure out what that means. I am the door. He said, I won't go to the restroom. Go through that door. Well, explain to me what door you... That door. You know, well, my truth, it's out that door. Okay. Mike has fixed the things to the dumpster. You can go behind his door and use the restroom if you want to. But I'm telling you, it's that door. See, what I'm saying, it's just insanity what people do. And it's a confusion of Satan. So we're not confused. Okay, we're not confused. So here we are. Jesus is the narrow door. And it says in 1 Timothy 2, 5 through 6. And you should know this verse. Put it in your billfold, put it in your pocket, and tell all your friends. For there is one God. All God's people say. Amen. For there is one God, and there is one mediator. You know what a mediator is? I mean, you cut in that too. Yeah, I mean, you connect one with the other. There is one mediator. Amen? One God and one mediator. What? Between God and men. You want to get to God? I'm the way, truth, and life. And the way to the Father. I am the way to the Father. This says the same thing. For there is one God, there is one mediator between God and men. The man, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. There it is. There's the whole thing right there. This is the door. This is the commentary on the door. You want to see the commentary on the door? Here's the commentary on the door. For there is one God, there is one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. So you have Jesus, the door, man's on the outside, God's on the other side, so we walk through the mediator, walk through the door, and we're reconciled to God. That's it. I mean, Jesus, I feel Jesus, how many pictures I have to paint for you? You know, well, that's not my truth. Fine, run into the wall then. I'm telling you where the door is. I'm telling you where the door is. And so we have the truth. So this is a great verse to look at. By the way, how many ways are there to God? Just look at this verse. One. And Luke says it's a narrow door. You know, well, what about everybody else? Well, they better get in line to the one door. All right, the one door. So there's one God, one mediator between God and men. That's Jesus Christ. And he gave himself as a ransom so we could get in the door. He said, what do you want me to do? I've done everything. I've opened the thing, unlocked it, opened it up. I paid everything. All you got to do is walk through. That's not my truth. Go to the dumpster. I mean, do what you want to. But we know what the truth is. We know what the truth is. Now, and two, it's this other verse I'll put up there. The narrow door is a free gift. It's a free gift. The narrow door is a free gift. Look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Now again, we're still talking about the narrow door that is Jesus, that he opened up for all of mankind. Now how do we know it's from all of mankind? Because he just told it. From the east and the west and the north and the south. Yeah. He covered everybody. Covered everybody, see. So here we have Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Now again, we know these words. Grace means favor and the power of God. Oh, see, by favor and the power of God, you have been saved through faith based on what you heard and you believed it. See, that's how you get through the door. My power made the door. Your faith will walk through the door I made. All right? You know, all we got to do is walk through the door. You know, people are chiseling all down this concrete fence trying to make their own doors, you know, trying to figure out. And we're just going to walk through the one he's made for us. He's made for us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. How much work do you have to do to make this door to get in there? It's not your own doing. The door is there. It's not of your own doing. Just walk through it. Just walk through it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. Amen? How about I have this overly priced iPad, okay? And I say, I'm going to give it to you as a gift. I'm going to give it to Greg. Now, in real life, I wouldn't give it to Greg. All right, but I'm going to pretend I'm giving it to Greg. So, Greg, here's this iPad. It's a free gift for you. All right. And I said, Greg, and he starts to task. No, I want one penny. Got to give me one penny for it. Is this free? Cheap. That's cheap. But it's not free. It costs a penny. Salvation is free. It costs nothing. Not even a penny. We're just supposed to walk through the door. You don't have to put a token in to go in. It's not like the toll road. You know, here's my Visa. Womp, womp. You know, it's not what's happening. Okay? It is free. So it's what he said. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. Costs you nothing. Costs you nothing. It's not a result of works. It's not what you do. It's not a result of works. So that no man can boast. See? So you can't boast. Say, well, Greg, here's my iPad for a penny. Give me that penny. Greg says, ha, ha, suckered Wallace, I got that for a penny. He can boast because he got a penny. But if I give it to him, he says, he just gave the thing to me. I don't have anything to say. You see what I'm saying? And I know Greg, he would brag if he thought he got this for a penny. He would. No, but the point of it is, so you look at these verses like, oh my gosh, this is an explanation of the narrow door. So Jesus had all these folks come, in this case, the Apostle Paul, and explain what the narrow door is. He's just going, the narrow door, let me tell you, strive to enter. And they're going, what? And all the Old and all the New Testament explains what it is. He did say, I am the door. He did say, I am the door. But they're not understanding it. And so all the rest of the New Testament is explaining to us so we can walk through the door, through the door. And then we start getting a comprehension of, like, if this is the truth and the narrow door, then it says we should wholeheartedly embrace Jesus. In this world, we should wholeheartedly embrace Jesus. That's strive. That's dedication. Embrace, because he's the narrow door. The rest of this stuff's going to burn up. By the way, it is. Just, if you don't know that, it's going to burn up. It's going to burn up. And so we want to wholeheartedly embrace Jesus, the narrow door. Why? John 3:16. Why? For God so loved the world, he made a narrow door. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, the narrow door. Whoever believes in him who walks through the door shall not perish but have eternal life, because they're on the other side of the door. See? But what else does Jesus tell us? One day, I'm going to shut it. He says it. One day, I'm going to shut it. And you say, but we ate with you. He goes, I don't know who you are. He's not even going to say the meal was good. He's, I don't know who you are, you know. He's going to shut. But you taught in our streets. Evidently, they're doing good. He shut the door. You see what I'm saying? So here we have, so here's three great verses, verse sections. 1 Timothy 2, 5 through 6, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, John 3, 16. Or you can say, it's a narrow door. It's a narrow door. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. God, you're just trying to tell us what you're doing. The world is telling us so much nonsense. The world is throwing so much stuff at us. The world is throwing so many lies at us. The world is throwing so many lies at us and calling it truth. They're saying this is truth, and it's not truth. It is a lie from hell. Lord, you are the truth. You are the truth. You are the door. You are the way. You are the one mediator. You are the gift from God. Lord, we just thank you. And I just pray each one of us can be encouraged as we go forward, especially this Easter season. You know, even people that are just not too focused in on the things of the Lord will have a tendency to be open to things of Jesus. And these verses, Jesus is the one mediator. Jesus is the free gift. God so loved the world, he gave us Jesus. You know, this is a good time to say that's why we celebrate Easter. There's a resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for your love. We thank you for each one of us that we have accepted you and we walk through that door. And he says, you know, in this life, have our heart focused on that door. Strive means wholehearted commitment. God is not interested in lukewarm. You know, he even talks about lukewarm. Revelation, it says, you're lukewarm. And it says, I want to spew you out of my mouth. The literal term means he wants the vomit for the lukewarm. See, so strive. I want those dedicated to me. I want you to be dedicated to me. And so, Lord, you be our teacher. And we thank you for giving us truth. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen.